Hello, everyone.
Hey, guys.
Welcome back to the Neverland Files podcast.
It's our first movie review of season 3.
Cinderella.
Cinderella. We decided we might as well start off on the right foot and start with a classic because we kind of strayed away from classic Disney animation. We got a little Pixar heavy and new movie heavy last
Star
year.
Star Wars, yeah. Just holidays. So we're coming back to the basics here.
Yes, going back to the basics. So Corbin, story time. What offering do you have for us?
Well, Cinderella came out February 15th, 1950.
What a wonderful Valentine's gift to the world. Happy Love Day.
Oh, yeah. I was like...
Yeah,
we were talking about this, that the movies came out at different times during the year back then.
Yeah.
Like some
now
of the,
we have like, the, there's like a season for blockbusters. And if you come out in February, it's like, we don't think you're going to be very
it's
good.
It's like summer or holiday, Thanksgiving, Christmas now. But Cinderella put up some good competition here in 1950. Apparently, it was number one that year in terms of movies with the box office. Number two was King Solomon's Mines. Father of the Bride was number three.
Oh, I love Father of the Bride.
All About Eve, Annie Got Your Gun.
Wow, there is some like classic.
The other ones, I don't know what those are. So
the other ones, I don't know.
Fancy Pants, you know that one?
I don't know Fancy Pants. I'm actually surprised. Good job, Cinderella. I am impressed. There's some iconic movies in that list. More like grown-up-y movies, so obviously like...
Well, it crushed. It was like, they say 52 million for Cinderella, and then number two is 11 million, King Solomon's Mines.
Wow.
So, well done. We don't know how accurate those numbers are, though.
Yeah, yeah. Is 52, is that them adjusting? Or is that really how much it made in 1950?
No, I think that's how much it made in back in 1950.
Wow. That's a lot of money, kids.
I think. I don't know.
Good job, Cinderella. What going in at number one. I have to say, kind of don't blame them. We're going to, I bet that was such a magical movie to go see. Oh, okay. Here we go. My story time contribution. I actually have story time about me.
Oh boy, here we go. All right, everyone,
time
sit
to talk
back.
About me.
Take a little schnooze.
This was my first VHS tape that I got for Christmas. I remember I got Dumbo and Cinderella when I was like 3 or 4 years old, and we have video footage of me with my blankie and a pillow, and I'm sitting like laying right underneath the TV, and I'm just glued to it, watching it on Christmas after I'd gotten it.
What
and you were all like eating food and running around, and I was just like tucked in my blanket watching Cinderella. Oh,
did
so
you
anyways.
Reenact this when you just watched it recently?
No, I did not.
Oh, okay. You should have.
It was
and
funny
we
though,
taken
like,
a picture.
It was like
Instagram.
The old. We have picture. I'll have to see if I can find the
we
picture.
We can recreate
guys,
it.
Because the, you had like the TV stand, and like, the TV was up high, and I don't know why I was like laying right under it, so I'm like seeing the movie like the skiff off of the screen instead of actually
the
like
skiff, the rounded.
Yeah, I'm seeing the
edge
rounded
of the TV screen.
Like, what was I doing? But yeah, I was having a marvelous time. This was my first VHS tape. There you go. I
don't remember the first time I watched Cinderella, so good for you.
Yay
well
me!
Done.
The tape. If my my childhood wasn't recorded, I wouldn't remember anything. Some random stuff about the movie.
All right, here we go.
Again, I don't know how accurate these are. This is from IMDb, and we have debunked IMDb previously. We have come up with stuff that we've seen in interviews come up and be like, that's not true.
So we're going to spread some rumors.
We are. We're going to spread some rumors. Take this for what you will. Grain of salt. The transformation of Cinderella's torn dress into the white ball gown was considered Walt Disney's favorite piece of animation.
Oh.
For him, that was his favorite.
There was some good animation stuff.
Oh, there is. This is a beautiful movie.
Little subtle things like when they zoomed in on the castle mm-hmm. and the town was kind of, you could see the, I mean, if you look closely, it's like the panes of art
yeah.
are moving.
The, yeah, the paintings are
so
shifting.
It shows, mm-hmm. it looks like you're zooming in, but it's just the art around it's moving.
Uh-huh.
I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah. So Walt Disney, so now we know Walt Disney's favorite song is Feed the Birds from Mary Poppins. And apparently this was his favorite piece of animation. Was the Cinderella, which is just beautiful. It's not overdone and like it's very subtle, but it's just so good. Okay.
This is very good.
I will say this. I was secretly very surprised and excited to see that the dress actually is not blue. It's like a white silvery gray.
It is,
and
yes.
I prefer it that way.
Do you?
And I think we should stop selling the blue dress.
No. The blue dress is good, isn't
it? No, don't push the blue dress. Go back to the original because the original is amazing. Oh.
Is it too close to the wedding dress, though? Is she calling her shot here? That's my question. Cinderella, little arrogance, walking into the ball with her white dress.
Hey, baby.
Where's the prince? I'm here.
Where's the prince? This dress is, it's so good. It was more beautiful than I remember it being. In fact, I would almost go as far to say, based on the color alone, I like it better than the dress in the live action Cinderella movie. That dress is amazing, but now that I've seen it in a, like, that grayish pearl whitey color, I'm like, it has to be that color.
Dishwater color.
I don't want it blue anymore. No more blue. Okay, my only other story time, this is the one that I'm like, I don't know if that's true, but I hope so, because it is so cute. Okay. Eileen Woods, she did the voice for Cinderella.
Mm-hmm, yes.
And a singing voice. And it says that she suffered from Alzheimer's, and during that time, she didn't remember that she'd ever played Cinderella, but her nurse that helped her said that she loved the song A Dream is a Wish Your Heart Makes when she had Alzheimer's.
Oh.
That was like the song that just kind of touched her. Uh-huh. And she couldn't even remember why. But that was the song that just like really calmed her down when she was having a hard day. Oh, so cute.
I like how you did the aww.
I know.
With
it's because you weren't
comment.
Doing it, so
well,
I'll do
I'm
it.
I'm not an R.
I know you're not.
Because I'm a dude.
I'll be.
Doesn't sound the same.
Arr. Arg. Thank you, pirate. Okay, let's move into character report cards.
All right, let's do this.
What do we got, Corbin? How did Cinderella stack up in the...
Are we starting with the big kahuna here?
Well, we usually start with outstanding and move down through satisfactory needs improvement. Sorry, guys. Remember, first review, getting back on the horse.
No, you're good. I just wasn't ready to talk about Cinderella yet. So, okay.
No, outstanding.
Okay, outstanding. I'm going to say, well, I mean, how could you not think that Gus? Isn't Gus just outstanding?
I gave Gus and Jack outstanding.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, they're so cute.
It's like Laurel and Hardy, but better.
Guys, this is...
Costello, but better.
When I was reading
is
reviews,
it better? What would you say? Would you stack them up, the dynamic duo between...
It's because they talk funny and it's so cute.
Well, I love Gus. I missed a lot of the things. I just thought he was the dummy.
No.
He's very smart.
Yeah.
He's a little... He gets into some precarious situations.
He's so cute.
But he's really getting after Lucifer there.
Happy birthday!
Well, I just like what he does, the nose thing with it. He wants to fight Lucifer.
Oh, I'll take him on.
And I.
Ooh, Shafi.
I found his picking up the corn.
Yeah.
I found picking up the corn to be very, very
entertaining. With his little teeth?
Yeah, because I was like, it's not working, Gus. He keeps spilling all over the
place.
Guys,
this is my everyday life because I'm a piler. I tend to have piles of stuff with me wherever I go. And so I always have like my laptop, 4 books, a notepad, and I'm like, moving and a plate of food and water and like I'm like shifting from room to room and there's always stuff flying over the place. So I relate with Gus. I'm always dropping my crap.
I just love how he uses his teeth. You're watching him and you're like, you can do this, buddy, and it's not gonna work, and then the teeth come out and you're like, oh, okay.
He's
got
it
all figured out.
He's got it. Oh, he is so cute. Both him and Jack, like I just like the way they talk and
zoot zoot.
Zoot zoot. Yeah, like what does that even mean? But I'm gonna start using it. It's zoot zoot. And then he's like, zoot zoot. So I agree with you. This is again that trope of Disney movies where the side characters are the best part of the movie, and oftentimes it is animal side characters.
I forgot how much they're in the movie too.
Yeah.
Like the whole first half of the movie is basically them.
Uh-huh.
And it's delightful.
It is. I read reviews where people were like, there's too much of it. And I'm like, nope.
Nope, you're wrong.
Nope.
It's not even up for debate.
I will say, and I don't think there's too much of it because I think this movie is so short, like literally an hour and like 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is the credits, which they really take their time with the credits. And I loved the credits because the art is just beautiful. It is such a, I can't even get over it. But I think there was enough time for the things we're going to talk about that were problematic. I think there was enough time to have all the Gus and Jack and also address things that may have been weaker.
Yep.
So it wasn't too much.
I thought it was great. It was perfect.
Okay. My other animals that made outstanding, Lucifer and Bruno. I mean, Lucifer's there just because he's so naughty and you hate him, but you have to have him be so naughty. And I love how he like giggles at stuff. How he's like, He you have to have him, or Gus and Jack-Jack and Bruno aren't as good.
I found myself relating a lot with Lucifer.
Oh, this is new.
Do you remember when Lucifer is trying to catch Gus Gus? He's in the teacup,
uh-huh.
And he hides behind the underneath the table. Yes. And then he comes up with his arms flailing, like so excited.
He's like, yay!
And then he picks up the cup and he's like, wait, there's no cup here. Where'd it go? So I could see myself having moments like that where you think you've finally figured it out and you're so excited and then it's gone. He's so funny. He's so naughty.
You know what? This is Lucifer's top villain moment. The one moment where I was like, okay,
messing up the house with the dirt?
No, it wasn't even that.
That made me pretty mad.
It was when he slashes Bruno across the face and then lays there and pretends he's the victim. And I was like, okay. That was below the belt.
Time out.
You can mess up the floor all you want, but that was
the
whole floor other
messing
low.
Up, the floor messing up, I was a little just, I don't know what to do. To me, that was it. That was it.
He'd crossed the threshold.
Unforgivable.
Oh my gosh. So anyways, yeah. And I love Bruno because he's just, I feel like he's a forgotten Disney dog and he deserves.
He is. And he was having his little dream. It was cute. He just wasn't there enough. I can't quite get him to outstanding because he's just not there quite enough.
He's too
important.
Cute. He's too cute. Oh, I love him. Can somebody please, like, does Disney do stuffed Brunos? I feel like that's a stuffed animal that needs to make it into the grandkids collection with Lady and Dalmatians, you know? Ugh, needs more love. Okay, there you go. Animals, I mean, none of them were not outstanding. The birds, the girl mice making the dress, the animals steal the show, and I'm okay with it.
I agree. I like the animals a lot, too. Okay,
Are there any humans that made outstanding?
I'm trying to push Cinderella into outstanding. She's
okay.
Kind of forgotten, but I think...
I think if you're trying, then it means that she's not quite there, which is okay.
What do we do with Cinderella?
Heavy sigh. I put her comfortably in satisfactory because I will say she is a little, not, I don't think sassy is the right word.
She's not oblivious and naive.
She's kind of not, and mean is not the right word either, but she is a little teeny bit, like she gets back. She has opinions about what's happening
in
the house.
So I think it's good.
And I think sometimes we watch this movie and think that she's just like, la, 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 whatever. But like, she definitely has some, she's holding in some anger.
She knows what's going on.
Yeah. And she's not happy about it.
But she's also doing.
Which I appreciated.
She's doing a great job though of not rocking the boat.
Yeah.
You know, she puts on the happy face and very patient.
I almost think that the newer Cinderella, the live action one,
is more of a pushover.
I think she's a little more of a pushover. Maybe not pushover, but she's a little more of like, she's got that more like dreamy, innocent, naive look in her face, which I'm fine with because I love that movie. But I was surprised by how down to earth Cinderella felt in this movie.
That's what I'm saying. She's almost, I'm kind of getting more convinced that she is an outstanding. It's subtle strength.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of why she wouldn't
be. You didn't like
Why she wouldn't. Well, I'm trying to think of why she wouldn't be outstanding for me. I'm trying to think of like what's missing.
Is it her fashion, her hair?
Might be her hair. The bangs.
It's the hair.
No, I don't know what it is. I'm still comfortable with her being satisfactory, but she just surprised me in this movie because I was like, oh my gosh, she's not as like floaty and ditzy and dumb as we paint her out to be. Snow White, that's a whole other conversation.
White's good too.
Cinderella,
come on,
they have grown from Snow White, and Cinderella felt like a fairly well crafted female character, particularly from the 1950s. That's all.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you feel better? Is she outstanding for you now?
I'll give her
she
outstanding.
Make it?
I ain't scared.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you're doing it now just to spite me.
Bring it on.
Uh-huh.
Good character, that Cinderella.
Cinderella!
Okay. I don't have any more outstandings. Do you have any more outstandings?
I just put the king. This is the first time I have watched this movie, and the king has made me laugh more than the duke and more than the stepsisters. The king, for me, he is such a mess.
He is a
mess. I loved it. He's either like... floating along and so happy and in love, or he's yelling and screaming at everyone.
Very
the best
red
scene
in the face.
is when Cinderella and the prince come out onto the floor and he's trying to get the band going. he's like the waltz, the waltz,
and he's
like
going
the lights
over the balcony.
Yeah, and the Duke's like pulling him back up onto the balcony. The lights.
Oh my gosh.
Anyways, I laughed out loud, so
that
I had
was
to
a,
give him props.
That was a good scene. It's just his round person,
and he's got a great mustache.
This is what I would categorize the Carrot King. He is like the player on your team that is very good player, but when he's not on the court, he's getting arrested, getting into problems, issues. But when he's in the game and playing on your team, you love him. But there's a lot of other stuff going on there.
Yeah.
You just kind of try and ignore it, and we're just going to take the good where we can take it.
I don't know.
He's very volatile.
Oh, man. He is just funny. You feel bad for him. This is the first time I've actually sat and listened to his dialogue and like what his motivations are.
He just wants grandkids.
He just wants grandkids because he's lonely. The poor, cute old man. His wife's probably passed away. His son's out doing his like princely traveling or whatever. And he's stuck there with the Duke. Oh, poor thing. He just wants grandkids, which I think is so cute.
So do you blame the prince? Who's at fault here?
Well, I don't think anybody's at
fault. No, we have to find fault.
No, there's not a fault. I think
finding
it's
fault at the Neverland Files.
That's a lot of Fs. I just think it's interesting that they chose to spend so much time with the king and no time with the prince. That's an interesting trade-off. Because you would think...
Princes are not... I mean, Snow White.
Well,
nope.
Like, I thought there was a scene that there was a moment where I was like, I feel it would be natural right now to go to the prince's perspective. It was right after the ball was over. She had run off, and you go and the king has been told that he hasn't proposed because they can't find her. And I would love to like see the prince in his, like, what is he going through right now? But we're going to the king and getting his version, which is funny and nice, but it was just an interesting trade-off because the prince is the needs improvement of all needs improvements.
Why do
movie.
You think they did that with these early
know.
Disney movies? Is it because the relationship weaving together the stories of two individuals and making it believable from a romantic perspective is really difficult?
I don't know. It's an interesting choice.
I don't mind it. I think it's interesting. It's different than what we're used to.
Because I like keep comparing it to the live action version, and we both love Cinderella and Kit in the live action version. But I almost, and like, as I'm talking through this now, I'm like, oh, but I would love like a little bit more of Kit and his dad because they have such a great relationship. It would have been fun to just do a teeny bit more of that. So it's like we have too much dad here and too much prince there. And so anyways.
I actually am totally okay with the way they did it with the Cinderella movie, 1950.
Where you don't get any of the prince?
Yeah, it's kind of because... our stories nowadays, it's all about the backstory and the motivations and the
origin story.
And after a while, you're like,
"Who was the prince before the prince?"
How about we just have a guy show up, and we don't need to know everything about him. He's a prince. His dad wants grandkids, and we get a little bit of Cinderella story. I'm okay with that, and it's shorter too. It's not 3 hours long.
Well, I think, but again, an hour and 15 minutes. I think there's room for like 5-10 minutes of,
nope.
At least the prince. I will say this though. His speaking voice is not my favorite, but his singing voice is amazing. The singing in this movie is
you like that
so good. The duet in this movie is so good.
It was a little old fashioned for me, but that's okay.
It is. I will give you that. It is old fashioned, but I loved it.
Okay.
All right.
You liked it.
Anybody else that we need to? I jumped
the
to
Duke.
Needs improvement. Sorry.
Well, I got satisfactory as the Duke. He puts up with a lot.
He does. He does. I think I just kind of forgot about him this time, which was weird because he usually is like one of the funnier pieces, but the king just like took over for me. So I kind of forgot about him.
So you're saying forgettable?
Yeah.
Like he didn't even show up in the classroom.
He's not okay. Even on my list. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I did put Lady Tremaine in the stepsisters in Satisfactory. I remember the stepsisters being funnier, but again,
no,
like.
No, Camry.
The king.
Camry,
just kind
no.
of took over
no.
everything.
No. You cannot give them any credit. They're terrible people. Terrible animated
creatures.
We're not
grading
creatures.
Their moral fiber. We're saying
oh,
if
just
they were
creep me out.
They
the whininess and running to mom when the Gus was ugh. What did you do now? The only thing that was kind of funny is when they would fight and hit each other on the head
when they were singing.
Flute.
I remember the singing being a lot funnier. It didn't hit this time for whatever reason.
No, it was terrible. It was just like, oh,
when
this
I was
hurts.
A kid, it was really funny. Lady Tremaine, though, yeah, she's a piece of work.
She's wicked.
She is not a nice person.
I had questions about this in terms of Mother Gothel, you know, these motherly, villainous type of figures. She creeped me
in
out.
In a weird way, you almost say Lady Tremaine is worse than Mother Gothel because her motivations just seem so much darker. Because they're just, it's like, just envy and jealousy and hatred. Mother Gothel is like, I want something for myself and you can give it to me. So I'm going to take care of you so you can give me beauty and youth. But Lady Tremaine just is spiteful. Like there's nothing somewhat okay about her motivations.
She's
it's just
a black
horrible.
Hole. Yeah. She just sucks the life out of everything.
I don't even think she's mean to Cinderella to like sad. I don't know why she's mean to her. She's just.
I wonder, can you imagine her laying in bed at night being like, why am I mean to her?
Why am I so mean?
Why do I feel so yucky?
I will say this, live action Lady Tremaine is fabulous. She is really good.
Yeah.
You get a lot more into the depth of like what the issue is. But
yeah. This one, it just.
Very surfacey, and she's cold-hearted and just yucky.
They did a great job of animating her. Like when they showed her as Cinderella's going up into her room and she's singing.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, and when you first meet her and she's in the shadows of her bed.
And the shadow goes over her face. It's like, why did it do that? But I don't care. It just there's the emotional visual component.
Because
there.
Lady Tremaine, I mean, from the outside, if you just look at her, she just looks like an older woman. So you're right. They did use shadowing and stuff like that to make it very clear to the audience that this is the villain here. Like,
yeah.
Even though she may look normal,
she doesn't look normal.
There are dark things underneath. All right. Did we talk about
I may have had someone in when I was in elementary school that looked a lot like her, and I have memories of her.
I think I know who you're talking about.
And it still kind of creeps me
out. Oh, sad.
And I had a few run-ins with this person.
Oh, sad.
Yeah. Anyways, that didn't help either.
Corbin had he's like having
flashbacks. It's a personal problem.
To elementary school. Yeesh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I did not win.
Are we ready for Rate the Reviews?
Let's rate some reviews.
Okay. My first review comes... I'm from Rotten Tomatoes, by the way. I'm from Rotten Tomatoes. What does that even mean? We have... My reviews from Rotten Tomatoes. Carlotta gave it 1.5 stars. When I was a little girl. Why is that always
is this you writing this?
No.
Carrie's like, Car Murray. No, I got to do
it. I think it's funny.
Carlotta Raymond.
Again, this point, this like is the thesis and the purpose of this podcast. It all comes back to childhood. Some people have great experiences, some don't. Carlotta didn't.
Oh, darn it.
When I was a little girl, I didn't really get the appeal behind Cinderella. It's not even really about her. It's about the mice, and it oftentimes is very difficult to understand what they're saying.
It is hard. Put on the
But that's the point. It's supposed to be cute.
I have a solution for you, Carlotta. Closed captioning. Closed captioning. It's a wonderful thing. I would have been completely lost in this movie.
Oh, my gosh. You guys are so funny.
I'd have been like, what is oot oot?
Oot oot.
What is going
What's
on?
What's the point? Sometimes they're not saying words. Zoot zoot. Okay.
That's a sound.
She says, I'm sorry if it offends, but I just was into the Tom and Jerry like mouse and cat antics. I like Tom and Jerry. Sad.
I don't understand. Because it's if you gave them all Cinderella and the Prince, people would be like, where's the funny?
Yeah. Yeah. And this is a kids movie. And so, and this is to be clear, this is a step above Tom and Jerry. There
oh,
is
yeah,
a classicness.
That's all slapstick. It's,
yeah.
There's nothing.
This was not all slapstick. This was, there are little souls in Gus Gus and Jack Jack, and they're so cute. All right. Your review. Sorry, Carlotta.
This is from Victor.
Hello, Victor.
A week ago.
Wow. Okay. 2022. This is happening.
My horse crashed onto my TV because he didn't like the movie, and I'm glad he did. 1 star.
Wait, what?
I don't know.
My horse
crashed onto the TV.
I'm so confused. Did he sit on it? And why was your horse inside watching
with you?
I don't
know.
Or is he out
thing.
On the range?
I don't know what Victor's doing.
Home on the range. Okay, Victor didn't like it, and his horse sat on the TV. Well, got
maybe
it.
He liked it, but the horse did not. So
okay, this brings up a point that I hear often about Disney Princess movies, but the older ones in general. Anne B. gave it a half star rating. She says, horrible. The message is that if you cry, your fairy godmother will show up and save you. I don't think that's the message here. But
what is the message? I mean, I'm not saying it is that, but I just...
I don't know, but I just, I was surprised by the depth that I felt in Cinderella, because I was expecting Snow White situation.
I barely even remember the fairy godmother.
And so by the time you get to that point in the movie, it's not this sense of, I mean, that just makes it sound that like Cinderella is just like, can't help herself, but she's managing.
I completely disagree with her statement, because Cinderella was working hard, being kind, being patient.
Which takes a lot of effort.
Gets her dress on, gets it torn off of her. And okay, she had a moment of sadness because the world is terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the fairy godmother shows up and I don't know.
Yeah, I think she was making a lot of effort to help herself. She had to, I mean, take into account this is a 24-hour period. So you're seeing 24 hours in Cinderella's life. And all of the work she had to get done in order to get the dress on and try and get herself to the ball, which she did try to do, and then, as you said, got her dress ripped off. And like, come on now, it's okay to put in effort, and what if people mistreat you, it's okay to be emotional about it and have someone step in and help you when you can't help yourself or you're just tired. That's okay.
This person needs a mentor.
Okay, anyways, Corbin, your next review.
This is from Elise. Oh, I don't know how to say. Elisa, Alyssa,
nope,
Alicia.
Just sell it because nobody knows the difference. Alicia, lovely.
I like it because it's funny and sad at the same time. No. I don't want.
You have some really articulate reviewers today, Corbin. I like it because it's funny and sad at the same time.
Is it though? Is it really funny and sad at the same time? Or are you just up and down with your emotions? Anyways.
Oh man, it does have a couple of, it has like one, the dress is a really sad scene.
That's hard to watch.
It is hard to watch. It's so sad.
They need a spanking. That's what those two girls need.
Okay. Corbin has reached his limit.
Yep.
Them
spanking.
And
that's
Lucifer.
That's all it can fix.
Making the floor dirty. I was very confused by Anita's review here, but maybe you all can help me. She gave it 5 out of 5 stars. She said, went with granddaughter. It was just maniacal. I'm confused as if she knows what the word maniacal means.
I don't think I do. Can you help us?
It means like wild, usually used maniacal to describe like a villain who's just like kind of completely out of control.
Like unhinged?
Yeah. And so of all of the words I would use to describe this movie, maniacal is not one of them. Especially if you're toning it down to just wild, because this is not a wild
movie.
Maybe
she didn't see the end.
This is a very...
Maybe she turned it off after they ripped off her dress. That would be maniacal. She's like, that is just too... I can't watch this anymore. I'm feeling sick to my stomach.
Oh,
how maniacal is this?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
There's no way back.
This is a very gentle, soft movie, I feel like. And I like it. I need movies... I describe Luca in the same way, where it's not like... We're not fighting dragons. We're not, and I love stuff like that too, but this is just a soft, gentle movie, and I like it that way. So maniacal. Okay. Interesting choice, Anita. Go take care of your dogs.
All right, this is from Benjamin. 3 out of 5 stars. This is from a year ago. It's a good movie, but I feel like the ending was rushed.
I would agree with that.
I wish I saw what happened to the stepsisters after Cinderella got married. Overall, though, it was a good movie, and I liked the story. I agree with that.
I agree with that. It is so rushed at the end. It's like, oh, high wedding. Bye.
The very, well, the ending of this is very similar to Robin Hood. The sound, the song.
It is.
The bells going off.
It's same bells. Pretty sure it's the same.
The only
same
problem
noise.
Is they just didn't put Lady Tremaine, Anastasia, and Drizella in a black and white striped suit.
Chained, beating up rocks with axes.
That would have brought closure, I think, to Benjamin. Just a 30-second clip of that.
You know what? Oftentimes, Robin Hood is overlooked for... not being high class Disney, but that ending in Robin Hood was not rushed. They took the time to do it right. This one felt rushed. And again, an hour and 15 minutes. You have time
for 30 seconds?
To do it. This is interesting. Again, IMDb, take this with a grain of salt. I was reading that there was an alternate ending where they were going to do where the Cinderella, the Grand Duke, takes her to the palace to meet the prince. And you have that scene where the prince realizes that she is a maid and a servant. But he loves her anyway. And they do that whole thing. And then they went into the wedding. And apparently Walt Disney said that it slowed the pacing down too much. And there wasn't like, you weren't getting more satisfaction from it. It was just slowing stuff down. And I'm like, am I allowed to disagree with Walt Disney?
I just want to see Lady Tremaine get what she deserves. That's all. Anastasia deserves.
Yeah,
Giselle.
Okay.
That's all. I want closure on that. I would suspect they're still living in this chateau and wondering why their clothes are not getting
clean. I
guess
we have to watch the sequel movies. Maybe the...
Where's my breakfast?
Cinderella.
It's been weeks. Where is it?
Cinderella!
She's not answering us. What's going on?
Oh, man. It is rushed. I will... Yeah. Agreed, Benjamin. Agreed. Okay. Tim, this is my last review, gave it 3 out of 5 stars, which honestly seems generous based on what I'm about to read. Crap. Lacking in a lot of character development and failing to provide the dark, serious tones. Instead, they wanted it cutesy and magical for little girls. Just cotton candy fluff. Blech. Typical Disney. I mean, that doesn't
That's
sound...
a three?
That was a 3 out of 5 stars. Wonder if it was an accidental 3. He meant 0. you know what?
He's like looking for his review. Where is my review?
He's like, I swear.
It should be in the 0 category. Where is it?
5 stars.
Black.
Black. Crap. You know what? There is a little bit of darkness to this movie. If you miss that, I don't know what to tell you because, like we've said, that scene where they rip her dress off is really, really sad. But I'm okay with it being kind of fluffier and not fluff. I don't think fluffier is the right word. Like I said.
Yeah, the fluffy didn't come to my mind when I was watching it.
It's
quiet. It's a quiet.
It's
film.
Subtle. There's like an elegance, a very quiet elegance to it.
It is not noisy. Mm-mm. There are a lot of noisy films. Mm-mm. I love it. I like this.
Yes. I love a good quiet elegance, and that's what we're going to give this movie. Okay.
That's what most movies are missing nowadays is the quiet elegance.
Oh, yeah. That's hard to do.
Black and white. I think there's a quietness to black and white.
Yeah. This is why I love black and white movies. Yeah. Because if you watch a black and white movie, it is all about spectacular writing.
Uh-huh.
There's not very often is there a good score behind it. It's just dialogue, really. Usually they don't do like great scores.
Yeah.
It's just dialogue. You don't have color to even like distract you. Like it is acting and it's great
raw.
Great storytelling. And it's very quiet and
I like that. We made a discovery in the podcast today. Quiet films, black and white.
Quiet films. Any more reviews, Corbin?
One last one. This is 5 out of 5. This is from Gamer Gal.
Hi, Gamer Gal.
Cinderella was amazing and helped me a lot throughout my childhood.
Oh, see? It's all about the childhood.
It's totally 100% appropriate for all ages and fun. I highly recommend it. Smiley face.
That's so sweet. I would love Gamer Girl. I want to hear a little more about this story.
Yeah.
You know, like a few more details, not a lot, but just I would love to hear how Cinderella helped you because I think we all have those movies that like got us through traumatic times or hard times, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so sweet. Well, now we have to give it 5 out of 5 stars because you find out when people love it like that, you're like.
It helps you.
I can't argue.
It's good. Good stuff.
That trumps all. It doesn't matter if it's the dumbest movie ever. If it helped you through tough times.
No, there's some dumb stuff out there. That helps you? Okay. You have problems, my friend.
I don't agree, but that's okay. All right. Corbin has a new segment that he's so excited about. We're going to call it the Nerd Blurb.
Nerd Blurb.
Nerd Blurb.
I love to bring statistical analysis into these animated filmies.
He's going to go Ludwig von Drake on us, get his white coat and his chalkboard. Kay. And give us his Nerd Blurb.
All right, you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Okay. Hang with me, okay, you guys? There's some numbers coming at you. And I love when I'm going to talk about statistics and people are like, I hate math. Well, guess what? You don't have to do the math.
This is Disney math, guys,
so
it's happy.
I did it for you, okay? So I had a question.
Uh-huh.
Gus.
Yes.
And Jacques. Is it a hard J? I always used to say Jacques, but I heard in this movie, Jacques. It sounded more like a hard J. Anyways, this is not...
Again, the statistics
has nothing to do
details
with it.
Here.
But I love the scene when they're carrying the key up the stairs.
Oh, and my gosh.
And it's in the pocket. Lady Tremaine pats her pocket. It's gulk, gulk.
Yeah. Oh, that's so sad.
So it got me thinking. This is one of the most heroic things I've seen in all of cinema. Carrying this key up that many stairs.
It is a lot of work.
So I did some math here.
You wanted to figure out if this was possible. Did you Mythbusters it?
I did not see if it's possible. I just wanted to see how long it would take, or it did take them to get all the way up those stairs.
Okay.
So I had to do some pausing, some fast forward rewinding to figure out, okay, how many steps are they going up?
Okay.
So in the main house, that nice staircase coming down, it's hard to tell. I looked at multiple different scenes. I'm guessing around 30 steps.
Okay.
Okay. So 30 steps. And then the key is probably 8 inches long, 7-inch steps, whatever. Okay. People are probably going to complain about that. That's what I came up with. Now, it took him about 10 seconds to go up one step. Chuck and Gus Gus, 10 seconds to get the key up and themselves up onto the next step. So 30 steps, 10 seconds a step, that's 300 seconds. In other words, it would have taken them around 5 minutes to get up just those steps.
And I would actually probably tack on a couple more because I think they slow down the further up they get.
I'm going to assume.
They're tired.
Well, I'm going to assume they maintain that level, okay? This is why it's wrong. Because remember, when it's a life or death situation or it is critical,
pumps.
You just keep going, right?
Yeah.
We've all been in those situations when you're running on the treadmill. You just keep going. It's life and death. I don't know what we're talking about.
Life and death on the
treadmill. Now, this is where it gets tricky because to get up into Cinderella's tower, I counted around 10 flight of stairs that go up and around the tower.
Oh, my gosh. So they're not even there yet.
Yeah, they're not even there yet. And so 10 flights of stairs, I was guessing 10 to 12 steps per flight.
Uh-huh.
So we're looking at 120 steps.
Yeah.
More. This is when Gus Gus faints. The vision gets a little blurry and he faints, okay? And you can understand why now. So 120 steps. Maintaining the 10-second per step progress, we're looking at 1,200 seconds, or in other words, 20 minutes.
Oh, my gosh.
So 25 minutes of carrying this
They're
key.
Cute little bodies.
All the way to the top to save Cinderella and her dream.
Okay, this is my contribution to this. Is that the Duke was downstairs with the stepsisters for about a half an hour.
Well, not just the Duke.
Trying to
get... The doorman.
Yes.
The Duke was asleep.
Trying to get that shoe on their foot
for
that long.
Yes, 25 minutes.
That's how long, guys, they were down there trying to insist that their big toe could fit into the shoe.
So this is my segue to our awards section here.
Okay.
Because by far and away, after I did all this math and these equations... My award for the surprise hero is the doorman because he took 25 minutes of physical and verbal abuse from Anastasia and Drizella trying to get that stupid shoe.
You want
to
know what's
on
funny?
Their feet.
Is you all thought he was going to say Gus, Gus, and Jack, Jack, didn't you? No, it was the doorman downstairs.
Think about it. I mean, the only picture you get is her shoving her foot into his face. And it's
25 minutes, guys.
And his wig is getting twisted around. His head is pounding against the piano.
You could watch an entire Office episode in the amount of time that he had to deal with the abuse of those two sisters.
Oh, boy. And that doesn't even take into account the whole skirmish going on upstairs between Lucifer, the birds, Bruno, all that stuff.
Oh, my goodness. Again, the animals coming through.
So a beautiful thing. So I thought it was well worth it to crunch some numbers. I probably am off a little bit, but I'm pretty confident that I came up with a pretty good estimation.
And I appreciate Gus Gus and Jack Jack more now.
It's amazing.
Now.
Isn't that amazing?
I mean, you want friends like that in your
poor
life.
Poor Gus Gus.
No
I mean,
matter how
sweating
small.
Like crazy. Like, just... giving it his all.
Oh, they just love her so much. That's so sweet. I will say this, in the live action, the little animals, there was a miss.
You're just like, wait, what?
Yeah, you're like, I want more of them because that was so sweet. Oh, okay. Now I'm gonna have to. So okay, I have an impromptu question.
Yes.
For our awards. Who would you say is the best Disney mouse, excluding like Mickey and Minnie? Because we have Basil of Baker Street, who we both love.
Well, Bernard and Bianca.
I know. And then we've got Gus Gus and Jack Jack.
And then there's Mickey.
Stiff competition. I said excluding Mickey and Minnie.
Oh, I was going to, sorry. wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, excluding.
I'm coming down from this high of the inauguration of my nerd blurb.
It was so good. We need to get you a whiteboard and record it because it really, that was very impressive. All right. Let's segue into awards then. You gave the doorman the True Hero
Award. The Surprise Hero Award.
Okay. I'm going to call it True Hero to go with our True Villain. I would agree with that. Now that you've explained it all with the math, it makes sense.
That's rough.
You didn't all think that. He doesn't even have a name. He put up with a lot.
He did. He put up with a lot.
Okay, so my
and
first...
And he's always happy. He's just a happy guy.
He is. He's just happy to be there.
Yeah.
My first award is my It's Purdy Award. Guys, the visuals of this movie is so stunning. Partially, it has to do with Mary Blair. I've talked about her previously. She did a lot of the aesthetic work on this. And if you want to see some beautiful concept art for Cinderella, look up Mary Blair concept art online. It is amazing. This movie is stunning, and I'm giving her a lot of credit for it because it's like Sleeping Beauty for me, where it's like, you know what? I just want to sit, and I don't even have to have the sound on. I can just watching the carriage go from the chateau to the palace was so beautiful. The coloring, the animation, it looked like the carriage was like kind of floating. Oh, it was so good, guys. So anyways, it's a Purdy Award. Good job, Cinderella.
Well done. It is pretty. And it goes back to this quiet thing. It's not in your face art.
No, it's very elegant and quiet. Yeah.
Well, you kind of took my surprise hero and turned it into the true hero. I was going to give a true hero award to Gus and Jack-Jack.
Oh, okay. So what's the difference? Okay, surprise is you
surprise
weren't expecting
hero.
It.
No one. Yeah, totally off the radar.
Okay. Yeah, he is off the radar. And then true hero. Okay.
Gus, and Jack.
Oh, I think that's, yeah. And maybe even all of the animals, because silly cat.
Well, they made the dress. I mean, that one mouse, she's cute. The one that's like kind of the head seamstress.
Yeah.
And she's in some of the books that way I read with my daughters.
You can meet her. I'm pretty sure you can meet her at Disneyland.
Really?
Yeah.
I want to meet her.
Okay. Is she? Maybe it's more like Tokyo, down in Tokyo Disneyland. Because they do some like, you can meet the cats from the Aristocats down there, but you can't meet them at Disneyland. Like,
are they actual cats? Or are they?
No. They're people in costume.
Hi, kitty, kitty.
But it's interesting how like Disney parks, based on their clientele, they will have different characters come out.
Okay.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah.
Yay, animals.
You want me to next award?
I'm going to add to yours. My true villain award goes to Lucifer.
Really?
He is like, Lady Tremaine is manipulative and she's not a nice person. But
is
a lot
she manipulative
of the,
or
a
is she
lot
just
of,
mean?
A lot of the chaos, though, that happens is because of Lucifer. Like, they would have gotten the key up to her quicker, but Lucifer often at times is the one that is following behind Lady Tremaine and kind of keeping an eye on things and causing more trouble. So I think without him there, this may have gone a lot smoother.
Well, this is not going to transition very well then. The Spirit Animal Award, my Spirit Animal Award
is
Lucifer.
Corbin's the true villain, guys.
This deviousness and, you know, like the sneakiness, but also
you
grumpiness,
did, you did
moodiness.
Get a red lightsaber when we did Star Wars, that Star Wars quiz. So, I, you know what? This is just continuing the theme.
I just felt like there's
a
lot.
You're just the bad guy.
I feel like Lucifer gets a bad name and that most people have Lucifer moments. Like when she's trying to get him out of bed to go eat breakfast. It's just like, I don't want to. I don't care who you are. I don't, like, leave me alone.
I don't know.
And you kind of slowly just meander wherever someone wants you to go.
I mean, Lucifer has very human moments, but he also has very naughty, naughty meal moments.
Yeah, making messes.
Making messes.
Which we all do, okay?
Okay, fine. You can be Lucifer.
I'm a Lucifer apologist.
That
feels weird.
That's...
I don't know what's going
hey,
on.
Hey, you know what? Lucifer needs some fans. Okay. He doesn't get much love. So
Rusevy.
Like Rusevy.
Yeah.
What else have you got, Corbin? Anything else?
Me Every Day Award.
Okay.
When Jack, they have to decide who's going to be the sacrifice in terms of distracting Lucifer.
Oh my gosh, yes.
And they put their tails together and he picks out his.
Hey.
And then he does the grid, the frown, because he's like, kind of like.
Everybody's like patting on him on the back. He's like, he's I'm like, happy to do it, but I hate my life.
He's like, I'm sacrificing, but I hate it. So I think that's, I guess maybe it's the sacrifice award.
I need to make that into a GIF because that is so perfectly describes a lot of everyday life. Where you're just like, great, crap, great, no, I don't want to. That's so cute.
There you go.
I love it. I mentioned this previously, Best Duet Award.
Wow.
Well, I would nominate it. Best Duet.
Yeah, nominate it.
So This Is Love, guys. It's visually stunning. I would say it's probably the most beautiful duet. It's prettier than A Whole New World. This one is much Oof. More artistic.
Okay,
it's all right. Not as upfront and in your face.
Could I offer something?
It has really good cinematography.
I would like to add a word of support for your statement that you just made.
Okay.
The key here is you said visually stunning. So if you're at home or in your car and like, what are you talking about? It's kind of put the music aside for a second and just look at
it's
the pictures.
A very old school ballad. So if you're not into that, I get it. It's a taste thing. Visually, it's stunning and you yes. like need to appreciate.
Yes.
I understand that maybe not everybody thinks it's a great duet, but it is a great duet. Like you have two people who are spectacular singers and whose voices match each other very well. I'm nominating it. It's happening, guys. It's happening.
It's on the board. The fictional board.
The fictional board. And then my last award is Make It Blue. No, Don't Make It Blue.
Don't Make It Blue award.
Don't Make It Blue. I don't even know my own.
Maybe that's what happened.
Oh, guys,
they were
so out of shape. This is so sad.
They were designing all this merchandise to sell to people. And the person intended it for it to be silver, grayish, whatever. And someone said Make It Blue on accident, and then everything's blue.
My life,
now.
I have not watched this movie in a long time, and I will never look at the blue dress the same ever again because I never realized the dress is not actually blue. And now I have a whole new opinion of which princess dress is the most beautiful because the color made all the difference for me. That silvery, pearlish color is just stunning. Make it not blue.
Make It Not Blue award. Are we confused yet? Are we good? All right. Okay.
All right. Let's rank it. Corbin, classic Disney animation, Cinderella. What you got?
I'm having a little rough go here.
You usually do.
Well, I take this seriously, okay? Because I'm not going to wait till the end of the season and say I hate my rankings. I'm going to do it right the first time.
I know. I was looking over mine because we didn't do any re-ranking. And I was like, well, this stinks. I'm just going to make it work.
See? Exactly. Okay. Okay. It's tough to do.
I will go first.
We've got, just for context, we've got 34 movies in this list right now, so it's getting a little tricksy here.
It is. It's getting tricksy. Okay, this is what my thought process was going into this. As I was watching this movie, I had another movie in mind, and I was like, I like this better than this movie. It's Sleeping Beauty. I knew I liked this more than Sleeping Beauty, so then I just had to go find that on my list and work my way through where it would end up.
That's kind of what I'm doing, too.
So I like this better than Sleeping Beauty. It's going to end up at number 14, which is higher than I was anticipating.
That's very high. Holy smoke.
That is above Coco
below
Luca.
It's the art, though, right?
It's the art, the animals.
And the, what do we call it? The silent, this.
The quiet elegance.
The quiet elegance. There we
Cinderella took me by surprise. She is better than Sleeping Beauty. I mean, it's hard to not be better than Sleeping Beauty. She's
Her name's Aurora. Okay.
Briar Rose.
Excuse me.
Cinderella is better than Sleeping Beauty. The art and the color palette of this movie is incredible. There's some the soundtrack, guys. We didn't even talk about the soundtrack, and there are some really beautiful songs in the soundtrack. It snuck up on me, so that's why it's going to end up at number 14.
Okay. Can I explain my conflict here? And I'm happy for you got up to 14. That was good.
Yeah. That's great, Cameron.
That's great. Now my turn. Now, okay. Here's my issue. I think it's better than Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's better than Aristocats. Sword in the Stone, just a hair above it. But this is the issue.
Okay.
I am having it sit at number 18 right now, and the one right above it is Cars, which is the antithesis of...
The complete opposite of what this movie is.
Yes, it's just like
loud, brash,
in your face, colorful.
Rock and roll,
yes.
So fun. Yeah.
And so I'm like, do I really like Cars that much? I think I'm going to keep Cinderella just one spot below Cars, but it just feels... sacrilegious.
It's hard. It does get to the point with these movies where you're like, they're so different, can we even be, is it even fair to be comparing?
Yeah. How do you compare Cars,
yeah.
Rascal Flatts,
oh, my
Sheryl Crow,
goodness, so good.
James Taylor
I
to
can't even
the Cinderella duet ballad. Whatever. I mean, I guess I put it in the right spot. I just convinced myself. So there you go.
Oh, well,
number
good.
18.
Corbin has to talk through things.
I do.
And then he feels better. I want to look at my list really quick just to check where we're at here.
Is it above Sleeping Beauty?
Oh, it is above Sleeping Beauty. Sorry, guys. I put mine a little low. It's supposed to be like number 13, which okay. is above Sleeping Beauty and below Atlantis.
Okay.
Well, that's better.
All right.
Oh, my gosh. And look, I have Cars just above it, too.
Oh, my gosh. Look, this is my list. I haven't looked at it in ages. Well, there's our list, you guys. That's our ranking of Cinderella.
It was a sneaky surprise. I did not think I would like this movie as much as I did.
It's fun.
It is. I take back all my previous negative thoughts about Cinderella because I'm like, okay, you know what? I just hadn't seen it in a while, and I needed to give it a chance again because it was fun.
After watching Paw Patrol for the last few weeks, because one of my daughters is really into Paw Patrol, I'm like, you know what? I think we should back up a little bit and go to Cinderella. Can we just...
Come with me, honey. Let's go back to the origins.
You're watching Cinderella for the next 4 weeks. We got to recalibrate because the noise in these shows is a little bit alarming. So let's go back
Paw
to
Patrol,
true art.
Paw Patrol, yeah. Always on the double.
Yeah, it's pretty hard. But
oh,
anyways.
Man. Well, guys, thanks for being patient with us through our first movie review of season 3. We're a little rusty.
Oh, I was on it.
Was rusty. I will take full credit for that.
Okay, so for next week.
Next week, we're going to do another movie review.
Cool Runnings.
Are we doing Cool Runnings?
We're going to do Cool Runnings.
Corbin says we're doing Cool Runnings. I don't know if that's accurate, but if we are, awesome.
We're doing it. Olympics.
I love Corbin just
ice.
Like decided the movie 2 seconds ago.
Pretty pumped.
I did watch the Jamaican two-man bobsled team the other night, so I feel that that is a good choice.
It's good timing.
It'll be a movie review, guys.
We'll have to wait 4 years if we don't do it now, so we got to do it now. Okay. Here we go. All right. Thanks, you guys.
Bye. This has been another episode of The Neverland Files. Subscribe and review and join the conversation over on Instagram at The Neverland Files. Thanks for listening.